Again, thank you, Brother Mike. The power of God is exactly what we talk about every time we stand before his people, because that's what's important, isn't it?
Amen.
His name is God because he has all power. If he doesn't have all power, then he's no God at all. Turn to Mark chapter 10, please. Some of you may not be able to relate to this opening that I'm about to give, but I'm going to go ahead and give it anyway. Remember way back when, for some of us, maybe not so far back when for others, there was a time when we would be outside running around all day, especially in the summertime after school was out. We would be out running around the neighborhood. When I was a young man, there was a large field out behind my house, and we spent many, many, many hours in that field and building forts, all those kind of good things, you know, young lasses would do, hanging out with your friends, whatever it might be. And then come around evening time, the sun would start to set down out here, and all of a sudden you'd hear, if you were close enough, the back door, screen door open up. You guys remember, anybody remember what a screen door was? And you'd hear Mom's voice. Johnny! Nancy! I know you're out there, dinner's ready. The calling of Mom. And we know, you know, Mom had power. Because if you didn't come to that call, your dad's going to come after you. And that was it. That's enough power right there to make anybody come, right? The calling of Mom. And it always depended on what we were having for dinner, whether we'd be in a hurry or not. Pizza? Oh yeah, right there. Spaghetti? Oh yeah. Liver? Not so much. This morning I would like to discuss with you the calling. The calling of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've titled my message this morning, His Calling. Are you with me in Mark chapter 10? Let's begin reading in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he, our Lord Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I'm thinking, Pastor Dean, was it you that just preached on this?
No. Yeah, somebody did.
A week or two ago? Yeah. Well, it was Mike, I'm sorry. We got to that point right there in verse 49 where it says, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. God calleth thee. I find it really interesting that Jesus had commanded those that were with him to let this blind man know that Christ is calling him. Our brother Mike, last week in his message, He stood before the people, and I was kind of really hoping our guest would be here again today. He stood before those that God brought into this building, and he called to them. He said, Jesus is calling you. You're either going to have a deaf ear and walk out of here without it, or he's going to make it effectual in your heart. I know that's brief. Mike spent a lot better time saying it than I did. But that's what the message was. God sends his men to tell those that Christ has prepared their hearts. He calleth thee. 49 again. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. You see, that goes right along with Romans 10:13, where it says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are you going to believe in somebody you've never heard of? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard of? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. God uses sinners to tell other sinners about Christ. We have the honor to stand before those that God has arranged to hear his gospel and to preach it. It is our honor to stand before you and preach. There is no greater honor, as Pastor Gene has said many times, but to tell sinners there is hope, but there is hope only in Christ. But even though we stand before those people that he has arranged to hear his gospel, it is God who applies that gospel to hearts of men. Many hear the word of God, but flesh and blood cannot reveal it to the heart. Only God can deal with the hearts of mankind. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4, if you would, please. Just a few pages to the left, Matthew chapter 4. You see, we come into this world with a heart of stone. That's the way we're born. We come into this world with the nature of sin. We come in depraved, completely, as Mike said, completely depraved. Whether the world wants to believe that or not, it's true. God's word says it's true. We have nothing, nothing to offer our Lord. Yet when God calls his people, they stop what they're doing. All of a sudden, man, that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. And I've heard you say that before.
Yes, sir.
I feel exactly the same way. That made more sense than anything I've ever heard in my life. I've got to come back next week and hear some more of that.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you sit there and you're like, man, what is going on here? That's not John Reeves. John Reeves hates going to church. There's a lot better things to go do, but I've got to come back next week and hear that again. Verse 18 of chapter 4, Matthew. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, what's that next word?
Straightway.
Does that mean they dilly-dallied for a while? My son loves that. He says, Dad dilly-dallies all day long. That's why I don't make as many deliveries as he does out in the truck. They didn't dilly-dally. They didn't hang out for a while and think, you know what, I might have something better to do. Let me just see if I've got... No, straight away, left their nets and followed him. Two men who didn't know the Lord, didn't know anything about the true God, were all of a sudden called by the man with power, God himself in the flesh. And that power, that word is effectual. Two men who came into this world the same way you and I do, hearts of stone, suddenly stopped everything they were doing and followed him. His calling. And going from thence, gives us another example, just in case you didn't catch the first one. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee and their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they, what?
Immediately.
They not just immediately got up and walked away from what it was they were doing, they walked away from their dad's ship. They left their dad behind. You didn't do that back in those days. It's common practice for us as Americans to walk away from our parents and just leave things behind. In those days, you didn't do that. You stayed with your parents and your grandparents and whoever else was still alive in your family. You stuck together. You survived that way. They left their dad immediately, leaving the ship and their father, and they followed him. That's an example of his calling. A calling with power. It does not go out void. His word does not go out void.
No, sir.
Straight away, without hesitation, they stopped what they were doing and they followed Jesus. Turn over to John chapter 11. Scripture declares, many are called, but few are chosen. We can read about that in Matthew 20 and Matthew 22, but pick that up at another time if you would. You see, it takes the power of God, the power of His calling to reveal His gospel, this good news. We know in our hearts that we had no desire for His truths before we heard the gospel preached. We know that we had no desire to have this man spoken of in Scripture rule over us. We once believed our destiny was in our own hands. I don't know why I had so trouble in saying that. But you all know my favorite scripture in Ephesians 2, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Oh, how I love to read this over and over again. I understand exactly why our brother Tom just loved these words in Ephesians 1 and 2. But God, in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when John didn't know it, even when John didn't care, even when John hated, but God loved him. And He loved each and every one of you the same way, from before the foundation of the world. Do you realize what that means? Have you ever really thought the depth of that? God loved you surely. The whole world was created for you. The whole world was created for each and every one of us. Everything that happens is for our good. All the terrible stuff that we see in this world, the falling of the towers, our sister Donna going through that trouble, our sister Carol, who can't even be with us but wants to so badly, but can't even get up off the chair and walk right now. That's terrible to us. Do you know that's for our good? It points us to our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, doesn't it? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is to me, God's mercy and His grace. We know that it is through His mercy that He comes to us and cuts away that stony heart of unbelief, giving His elect a heart of flesh, one that believes His truths, as Mike read, as Mike pointed out in his devotional. We believe God because God's given us the faith to believe. We know that there was a time when we were dead, consumed with the flesh, consumed with our own lust, dead in trespasses and sin, yet He quickened us. He gave us life. He called us through the preaching of His word, and there is power when He calls. Are you with me in John 11? Look at verse 39. Jesus said, and we're talking about the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus was sick, then he died. Those who came to tell Jesus said, "Don't worry about it, I'll be there when I get there." And the Lord waited, purposefully. Purposefully waited. Lazarus died. He was buried in a tomb. A rock was put over his tomb. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, his sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, our Lord Jesus, "By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." That's a picture of all of us before the Lord's word came to us.
Right.
We stunk. The world stinks. It's all dying. Everything around us is going to die and burn up in the end. And we were right there with it.
Right.
We stunk. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." "Don Jukic, come forth," the Lord said unto you one day through his word. "John Reeves, come forth," is what he said to me as I sat there in that chair. And I had to come back the next Sunday. I had no idea why. Verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth." Now catch this, folks. Catch this. We're talking about his calling. We're talking about the calling of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the power that Christ brings with his word. "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." His calling, the calling of power. He did this very thing so the people would know that Christ was sent of God. Christ has the power to give life, and he has the power to take it away.
Amen.
He has all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, as the word says. God humbled himself and he became a man, Jesus Christ the Lord. And when he calls, it comes with an effectual power. Who can resist his will? All things are at the feet of Jesus. When the Lord calls, his sheep hear his voice. If you don't hear his voice, it's because you're not his sheep. We've seen people come before, and we've seen them not come back. Some we've heard go to another church down the road where they talk about all the great things that they do, but they don't talk about the power of his calling. When our Lord calls, we hear his voice. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can any stay the hand of our great Creator? Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Is anybody surprised John went to Ephesians chapter 1? It's great verses here. It's soul-resting verses. It takes all the work out of man's hands. I don't have to do anything. My Lord Jesus has done it all. It's all been predestinated before time ever began. The world was made for us, surely. And everything in it. For our good. You don't need to turn there. But in 1 Peter 5, 6 it goes, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due times, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Is that good news? "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you to him, to our Lord Jesus." This is why we talk about his calling. "To our Lord Jesus be glory and dominion forever. Amen." When our Lord comes to us through the preaching of his gospel and reveals his power, we are humbled. It amazes me that he who said, "Let it be," and everything that we see is, with that kind of power, would look down on me. And love me. So I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing to give him back. Except for, you have all power. All the glory be to him. Realizing that we have nothing to offer, that we have nothing to bring, that we have no righteousness of our own, we are humbled. Yet he calls us his elect. He calls us my chosen. He calls us my people. And because he loved me, I call him my God. We are his because God the Father gave his Son a people before the world was ever made. He gave his Son this people knowing that his Son would pay the price for their sins. It was done. He called us his people before he ever even created the world because he knew his Son was going to do exactly what was to be done. And it would be perfectly done, and it would be substantial. It would be effective. Nothing was going to stop it from happening. Salvation for the people of God was assured before the foundation of the world. Salvation was accomplished at the cross at Calvary. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 1? Let's begin reading in verse 15. "Wherefore I," speaking Paul, and I don't mean to add or take away, please don't allow that to be, but I would agree with Paul. "Wherefore I," John Reeves, "also, after I had heard of your faith in the Lord," that's what brings us together, isn't it? I love that lady, Donna. I love Lamar and Carol. I love each and every one of you. Anytime something happens, I fret over my brother Mike and his work for many years now. He's dealt with the on and offs of his work. I fretted over you and how you went through your leg situation. But you know, I've also been blessed so much through my family of God. Blessed so much. the Lord shows me your strength. And that holds me together. I've seen our strength in our pastor. I've seen our strength in Roger. I see my strength in that young man sitting right back there. God's strength in you. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and all to the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's a great thing that the Lord has given mankind the ability to look into the heart, pull it out, and put a new one in. That's great knowledge. But that doesn't last for eternity. The knowledge of Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, our Savior, that lasts forever. Eternity. The Father of glory may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. Oh, I sure hope the Lord is calling me, not just 19 years ago when I sat there, but every single moment. Lord, never stop calling me. If I'm His, He won't.
That's right.
He'll keep calling me right up till the end of time and beyond. The hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power.
Yes, sir. Amen.
According to the working of His calling, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all the principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things are under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is in His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Do you know what that means? I dare not trust the sweetest frame. That means anything that you can think of that you can see, hear, or taste on this world. You think of the greatest thing that you can think of right now and dare not trust it if it's of this world. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
God's people, we have no confidence in our flesh, do we?
No.
Don't ever trust what you think you see in yourself, even if it's good. Our only hope is in Christ and the power of His calling. Pastor.
Thank you, God.